Where we may be bearing the burdens of sadness or concern, this is the place to be. And the arms of Christ are open wide to all, so that no matter where we might find ourselves in our journey of life and faith, know that you are welcome here. As we begin our worship this morning, I would invite you to pass the friendship pads to others with whom you are seated as a way for us to be aware of one another. As we also turn toward worship, I want to direct your attention to a couple of announcements. First of all, the session has, according to the church's bylaws, called a congregational meeting, a meeting of the congregation and corporation at 9:15 next Sunday, October 15th, in the Fellowship Hall to elect officers to session, deacons, and trustees, members to the nominating committee, and representatives to Presbyterian homes. So that's next Sunday. I'm also I'm married to a person who's a Lutheran pastor now, so I'm duty-bound to make this announcement. There is a Reformation celebration on October 22nd. Larry Kessler, who many of you may know from the Fairview School District, is the person who is in charge of this function that's at the Siebenberger Club. And you have to get tickets for this, and being the husband of a temporary Lutheran pastor, I have the tickets if you would like to purchase some. So, finally, we've been doing this Seed Money for Mission project this fall, and the idea was that folks would use the seed money for mission to either contribute to something or hopefully to use that seed money to do something to create more funds for mission. And we're very fortunate this morning to have delicious zucchini bread for sale in the lobby that Don Wiborg and Mickey Lasel use their seed money to make, and that money then will go on to mission. So that's the right idea there. So next year, if we do the seed money for mission, be inspired by our sisters in Christ to this good mission. Keith.
Becky Worthington has put together a wonderful art display in the parlor again, featuring the watercolors by Wilda Sundberg. I hope you'll stop by and visit today and in succeeding Sundays. They're worth looking at many times. Lovely display. Thank you, Becky, for your good work. And Middlers and Senior Highs are invited to attend a Presbytery-wide retreat this coming week. I would appreciate hearing from you if you're planning on going today. It's been planned by four leaders of four different churches, and seven or eight churches are going to be involved. We're going to spend the night at the First Covenant and worship there on Sunday. I'll tell you, one of the games we're playing is Hungry, Hungry Hippo with human bodies. I think you want to come and see how that works. I want to see how it works.
Again, I want to mention the Second Saturday Work Project, which will be the third Saturday in conjunction with Serve Erie. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Unfortunately, we didn't get a blurb in the bulletin this week. But it's a chance for all of us to work together in a project being coordinated through Serve Erie. Anybody age 7 and up can participate. There's child care for younger kids. We rendezvous at a church and then get bused to the work sites. It all happens between 8 and noon on the 21st of this month. So sign up if you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you. I was made aware by someone recently who is not from the Presbyterian or Protestant way of doing things that sometimes we assume that people know how to do here at church, at least the way we do. And the worship bulletin is the pattern for worship. So if you don't know this, we follow our pattern of worship through the bulletin. And that way you can kind of be in touch with where we are in the service. It's sort of like following the baseball game. So, friends, let's take a few moments and rise and greet one another as sisters and brothers in Christ.
Please join me in the call to worship. As we call ourselves to worship, the music is beautiful and the cushions are comfortable.
We have come into our sanctuary, our safe place, away from the din of the world around us.
We come here because we have lost sight of God and strain to hear God's voice above the violence and pain.
We have come into our sanctuary to be reassured.
us pray responsively. Shall one hymn restore us? Shall words sung and notes played quiet the world? God, give us the answer.
God, give us the right
if we long to make the world right and orderly and safe.
If you want, you will.
What are we saying?
You are not God. You are not you.
How long must we wait?
Please be seated. I would like to invite children to come up for the children's moment message. Come on up, everyone. So, my children's grandparents, that would be my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they went somewhere one time to do some work and to also go to a Sunday school class with someone. They went down to Georgia and they spent some days working on a house, called a Habitat for Humanity house. And they hammered and they sawed and they did the work that you do on a house. And they worked with this person who was a pretty famous person, actually. And they worked side by side with this person during the week and ate lunch with this famous person. Then on Sunday, they went to this person's church. And this famous person taught Sunday school class. And amazing, just a lovely Sunday school class where they talked about Jesus and about the love of Jesus and the things that Jesus wants us to do and the love that Jesus has for us. Wonderful. Do you know who this famous person was? He was once the president of the United States. He was once the governor of Georgia. Yeah, he was this famous guy. And yet, when they were working with him, he was just a regular guy who really wanted to share the love of Jesus. My father-in-law said, you would never have known, except for the security people around, you would never have known that this man had once been a world-famous person. In the words that are going to be read in just a minute, the guy in the Bible named Paul, he wrote a whole bunch of the part of the New Testament. In his letter, he talks about, you know, I had all of these reasons to be famous, all these reasons for people to look up to me. I had it all going my way. He says, but you know, none of that matters. What really matters is how much the love of Jesus has meant to me and what my life means to share the love of Jesus with other people. It's an amazing thing, I think. We live in a world where being famous and having everything going our way is kind of what everybody wants. But what the Bible says is, that's great, but that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is knowing that we're loved by God, loved by Jesus, and how we can share that love in the world. And the big difference that makes to other people. So, that president is a guy named Jimmy Carter, and you may have heard of him before. But it's really neat how, even though he was the great president, the main thing he wants to do now is to make known the love of Jesus, which is a pretty cool thing. I hope that we too, as we grow up, as we get to be better known, as we may be well known in our community or just among our friends, that the main thing in our hearts will be the love of Jesus and how we can share it. Why? That's a great question. You can love your mom and dad too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and you can love each other too. I can see that right there. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your love that's shown to us in Jesus. We want that love to be right in our own hearts, and we want that love to be shared with others. Help us to do that, we pray, in his name. And let everyone say, Amen.
Would you remain seated for just a minute? Just a minute. We have something special. Hannah, would you come up for a minute, please? Up here. Kenny, would you make your way up here as well? Hannah, this is a Bible from our church to you, for you to read with your mom and dad and your brother. We hope you enjoy it. Yeah. I like the hug. That makes me happy.
Nice.
We give preschoolers Bible, picture Bibles and stories, and our third graders, as they are able to read, ones with more research in them, and our sixth graders, which Kenny is here today, is starting his confirmation journey, which is a three-year journey of learning and thinking about his faith. And so we give him his first adult study Bible, which has prayers in it written by teenagers and reflections by other people to help you understand different passages, written in the common English. We hope you enjoy it. This is from all your godparents here at Wayside. God be with you. Now we're all done. Thank you. We can have a seat.
Thanks for coming up and helping out this morning.
Let us share in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we all can read, we all can listen, but can we all understand? Probably not without you. So grant us insight as the scriptures are read and we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Christian scripture reading this morning is the story of Paul's conversion to Christ. He offers a new way of envisioning the world and himself. The reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. It is found on page 198 in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as lost because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this thing, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Opinions are the way of the world. We express them openly, at least to anyone who will listen. We write them on Facebook pages, and we tweet them. We choose our friends by them, at least our best friends, and occasionally we lose friends over them. Most of us gravitate towards churches whose pastors share our sentiments. Many of us dedicate ourselves to organizations that stand for an opinion with which we agree. Comedians have even set aside their art of jokes to speak their mind about something that is horrific to them, and often to us. Newscasts of Walter Cronkite vintage are all but gone. News is presented with a slant that makes clear the reporter's take on the event. Opinion has become the American way of thinking. That's fine everywhere, except in our efforts to live the teachings of Christ. Here we explore the parables, the images, the visions of Christ, and from our studies we come to conclusions that formulate temporary opinions. He said the Sabbath was made for the welfare of human beings. We are not created to sustain the Sabbath. Within his vision, there was room for people to break Sabbath law for compassionate reasons. When I was a boy, the blue laws did not allow us to shop on Sundays. In fact, stores were not even allowed to be open for business. That seems silly now, but then it was the proper interpretation of keeping the Sabbath. That's what happens when faith is reduced to only opinion rather than compassion. We had no right to inflict our faith practices on others. It's not easy to be a Christian. There's a discipline involved that requires hard work and diligent prayer. The blue laws are a thing of the past, and so there's no emotion in the telling of the tale. But what if we applied the practice of wisdom seeking to something we're adamant about, such as abortion or gun control or capital punishment or presidential politics or kneeling for the flag? Can we take our opinion and set it aside long enough to ponder questions of compassion? Like the Sabbath, the flag casts its own shadow of propriety. The vision is that of freedom of expression. Yet we would hold opinions that say men cannot kneel. Just out of curiosity, and I'm not asking you to raise your hands, do you applaud after standing for the flag and the playing of the national anthem at sporting events? You have a right to do anything that you want. But did you know that the men and women of the service never applaud because they consider it disrespectful? What questions would Jesus bid us ask of black men who kneel for the flag and the national anthem? How have they been treated as men of color under that flag that waved over their homes and their lives? What's it like to be a black American? How has my unexamined white lifestyle contributed to their struggles? Did God urge them to kneel so that I might wonder about my faith and its deficits? It is easier not to prayerfully consider the why of others. There is a danger that our opinion may change. There is a possibility that it may not, but maybe expand and make room for another opinion to be legitimate for them. If the truth be told, it would be easier to not explore my opinion and hold to what I think rather than die to my old self and be resurrected with Christ. Yet the Apostle Paul was among the first to testify that life with the risen Lord was worth it. This way of being with one another was a way of to possibilities of hope that opinions never provide. It means dying to ourselves so that there is room for others. There is the vision of the kingdom of God. There is the vision of loving neighbors as we love ourselves. There is the vision of equality among all God's children of every creed and color. There is a vision of grace for even our enemies. The vision cannot be reduced to proper opinions for legislation. They are ongoing parables whose way out is only by immersion in. Some might say we need the right laws for abortion or assault weapons or how to treat the flag. We do need some laws that make sense. But that will not be the end of it. People's opinions are not changed by legislation. They will persist in what they believe. And so must we. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, nor does the journey of following Christ.
Please be seated. You'll find concerns for prayer listed on the back side of the pink insert in your worship bulletin. I have a number of folk here as we consider those who are dealing with illness or injury. We remember all of those who are serving in our military around the world. We always remember Devin Johns, our missionary in Philadelphia, in our confirmation class. We have the church at Port Allegheny and their commissioned ruling elder, Garen Smith, that we remember in prayer, and Reverend Bill Mills, honorably retired. course, our hearts are lifted up for the terrible violence in Las Vegas, those affected by hurricanes and natural disasters, both today in Mississippi and Puerto Rico and Florida and Houston, and those affected by earthquakes in Central America. Let us make our hearts ready for prayer. Holy God, author of our stories, composer of our songs, weaver of the tapestry of life that reveals your will and way, we come into your presence as a people who so often are unsure of our story, who cannot catch the tune, who hold the tattered threads of worn-out cloth. Hear our lamentations, the cries of our hearts, the cries we lift up for those who are harmed and for the acts of those who do harm. We struggle to make any sense of the senseless. We cannot imagine how to enfold the jangled stories into your meaningful narrative. So hold on to us as we seek to go forward without knowing. Guide as we improvise upon the tunes you have taught us so that we might make some kind of melody in a discordant world. Give us confidence that you can weave what is durable and protective and beautiful from remnants that are ill-fitting, rough, and ugly. Hear our prayers for those suffering from the shooting in Las Vegas, the grieving, the wounded, and the traumatized. Hear our angry and frightened cries that such things happen with alarming regularity. Is there no remedy for this flaw within us? Help us, God. Hear our prayers for those who continue to recover from disasters that come from the natural world, those in Texas and Florida and Mississippi, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Guatemala. Hear our prayers for the many we publish on our list of concern, and those who we keep in our hearts and minds, loved ones, neighbors, those we know and those we are aware of. Hear our prayers for our leaders in church and community, in government, locally and on the state and federal levels, and for those who work and advocate for the poor and for those adversely affected by custom and injustice and unkind practice. Encourage us all to live each day with a sense of your presence and to act upon it in our relationships, work, and words. Then may we discover how our story is within your story, how your song rises in our heart to give melody to the world, and how the threads of our lives are woven into the mighty tapestry of your realm to reveal beauty and strength from the goodness of your creative and redeeming power made known through Jesus the Christ, who has taught us words to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In the first letter of John, he writes of our response to God, "We love because God first loved us. We make an offering to God because God loves us. We respond to God's generosity with our generosity. We seek for a better world because God's redeeming love promises a better world. So let us join in the offering because of God's love that is freely given." O God, as Jesus once took the loaves and fishes, blessed them, and gave them to feed thousands, so do we ask that you take the offerings we bring of money, of our faith and commitment, our talents and our intentions, and multiply them all to bring about more than we can plan and imagine. This we ask in Christ's strong name. Amen.
Please accept with me the charges before us. Let us send ourselves out with these words. Because our world is poor and starving.
We will seek to offer bread.
Because our world is filled with fear.
We will seek to be courageous.
Because our world is in despair.
We will seek to be humble.
Because our world is living lies.
We will seek to be truthful.
Because our world is sick with sorrow.
We will seek to be joyful.
Because our world is weary of wars. Because our world is seldom fair.
We will seek to be just.
Because our world is under judgment.
We will seek to be merciful.
And because the world will die without it.
We will seek to be
honored. With your help, O God. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Amen.